Normally we would have a Christmas for Christ video, but we're not going to have one today. We're not prepared. But let me just say a word about these envelopes that are over on the side. Christmas for Christ is an effort by the United Pentecostal Church International to support the establishment of new works, to grow existing churches, and to plant additional churches in North America in every state, every community. In fact, there is an effort that the town next to you needs another church. It is my personal opinion that New London County, we are the only United Pentecostal Church in all of New London County. And I'm sorry to say that. Amen. I think there should be more apostolic, Jesus name, one God churches in our surrounding communities. Amen. So I'm in favor of planting new churches. Amen. And I think it's, they want, how many churches is the goal? 10 new works. It is the Connecticut District's goal to start 10 new works in the following upcoming year, in 2025. Amen. So it is a very ambitious goal. And to do that, Christmas for Christ is a method that is used by our both national and our local Connecticut district to support those missionary outreach efforts. And I say missionary, it's home missions. It's right here in the United States. It's right here in Connecticut. I'm hoping that in the near future, there is another United Pentecostal Church in New London County. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So support Christmas for Christ when you're able. It is my good pleasure. Brother Darren Dyke is going to come and bring the word. Would you welcome him?
Praise the Lord. Amen. Let's lift up our hands to the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I feel His presence in this place since the moment we stepped in. Oh, hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God, for all you've done, Jesus. Lord, for blessing us with your presence today, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. We love you. We need you, oh God. We can't do anything without you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. It is good to be home. Good to be home. Praise the Lord. We are going to go to Scripture here, 1 John chapter 3, verse 7. Amen. But let me just say that I love you. It's so awesome to see everyone. And I missed you. Praise the Lord. We missed you. Going to a different church and you don't know how things work and you don't know what to do. Praise the Lord. Where to stand, where to sit. Amen. God is good. It's good to be familiar. But, you know, we shouldn't get so familiar that we get complacent. Amen. Because God wants to work in our lives. Hallelujah. And that's what we're going to talk a little bit about today. If God will help us. Let's start 1 John chapter 3, verse 7 and verse 8. It says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, speaking of Jesus, is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. I know that's hard to hear. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning. He's the original sinner. It says, for this purpose, everyone say purpose. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I want to focus on this part of the verses here. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Praise the Lord. Can we lift our hands in the presence of God and thank him for his presence here today, for his glory here today? Lord Jesus, we love you, God. Thank you for manifesting your glory here today, Lord Jesus. Thank you for being here with us today, Lord. We entreat you, Lord God, to come and dwell with us today just for a few minutes, Lord God. And Lord, begin to destroy the works of the devil today in our lives. Lord Jesus, we praise you. We thank you. We love you. We honor you. Help us today, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for standing. You can be seated if you wish. I'm going to speak to you today on demolition in progress. Demolition in progress. Praise the Lord. We have to realize that as sinners, we allow the devil to work in our lives. Some of us unknowingly just gave over to the work of the devil in our lives. He tempted us. We allowed him to lead us. And then he came and began to work and to build some things in our lives that were against God. He built up strongholds that would resist the word of God and that would be complacent to the moving of the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. God desires to manifest himself in us for the purpose of destroying the works of the devil. There were a few times in the ministry of Jesus that he said, "For this purpose have I come." He said one time that I've come to give them life, and that more abundantly. He said one time that I came to divide even. But he said one time that I came to save. Praise the Lord. But he says it here, John writing says, "For this purpose was the Son manifested, that he might destroy," that there would be a demolition of the works of the devil in the child of God. Hallelujah. Demolition is not comfortable, but it's necessary to build something. It's necessary. We're excited. We got this new baptistry out here. And it's going to go right around here, right up in here. If you can visualize it, you can see it. But we haven't even started work on it. Because we're kind of afraid to demolish. We're kind of afraid to start. We got to take part of the platform apart. And there's a whole project going on for that and a whole plan. But sometimes we're hesitant to start because we don't want to have anything demolished. You know, I can see, I know that some would like to have a new kitchen in their house. I'd like to have a whole new kitchen. But can you imagine having the contractor come and signing him up, and he comes in with sometimes a sledgehammer, and he starts beating the walls down, and you run into the room and say, "Hold on a second, what are you doing? I'm starting the demolition process. This is what's necessary for me to build that dream kitchen that you want." Amen. Now you all are dreaming. You husbands can thank me later for planting the seed in the mind of some of these ladies. Amen. I like to cook. Praise the Lord. And I want to do some work in my house. But that demolition has to occur first. Some of us have lived in the world and lived for sin and for Satan for so long that we have embedded in our lives some great strongholds that resist God and His Word. That's why it's jarring. Sometimes you come from a contrast of sin and of Satan and into the holy and you think, "Oh my, I've got changes that need to occur in my life. There's things that have to be done. I've got to walk different, talk different, dress different, live different." Yes, there's a holiness of God. Yes, there are holy ways of God. Yes, there are ways that God wants to work in your life. But if you've got all those strongholds built up, there needs to be a demolition that takes place in your life. Amen. It affects us. Be careful, because if you hold on to those old things in your life, you might get hurt when God tries to destroy those works of the devil. This demolition of the works of Satan, it's not comfortable to us. But it will allow Jesus to rebuild in us into His kingdom and give us abundant life. Praise the Lord. Satan is always and has always been, as the Scripture said from the very beginning, Satan has tried hard to sabotage your life in Jesus Christ. He really is the enemy of your soul. The accuser, the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. Amen. Even in the very first century of the church, Paul recognized that evil spirits were at work, even in the lives of the church. And he warned in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7, some people had become complacent. And he said, for the mystery of the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Maybe he was a little surprised. So you just got the Holy Ghost. This church was just started. And look at this. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let. This is speaking of the Holy Spirit. That God will allow these things to happen. And then it says, until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked, capital letter wicked, be revealed. That's a person whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. The man of sin is not my subject today. But there really will be an embodiment of Satan, somebody that's totally, completely possessed by the devil, that will come after the working of Satan. Thanks be to God that Jesus was manifested so that he could destroy the work of the devil. Hallelujah. Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. The works of Satan, yes, they will cause chaos. They will cause confusion. They will cause destruction. But God is coming to destroy, and he will destroy all the work of Satan. Praise the Lord. My concern today, amen, yes, there will be an Antichrist. And he'll rise and he'll be possessed by Satan. But that's not what my subject is today. My subject is the concern that I have of what type of mindset we would have to allow the devil to work in us and deceive us. What type of mindset or lie would we have to believe in order to just follow wholeheartedly the man of lawlessness or the man of sin? What type of mindset or what type of complacency would have to set up in the mind of Christians in order to follow the man of sin? But listen to me. Paul already said the mystery of iniquity doth already work. It was working then, it's still working now. We can't get comfortable. We can't get complacent. We've got to be aware and we've got to allow this demolition to take place. Because Jesus does want to destroy those works of Satan. Hallelujah. If we lose our love for the truth, we will be lost. We can't get complacent. We can't let little things creep in and into our mind and say, well, this is okay and that's okay. No, no, no. Sin is still sin. And righteousness is still righteousness. Evil is still evil. And holiness is still holiness. Amen. We've got to embrace that which is true, that which is holy, that which is righteous. Amen. That is how we can be a light and a salt in this earth, amen, and that people can be saved, amen, as they're drawn to the goodness of God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The devil will meet his ultimate demise in the lake of fire. And I want to go to Isaiah chapter 27, because this also demonstrates here in Scripture, Isaiah 27 verse 1. It says, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea. This is an Old Testament reference to something that is repeated visually before John in the book of Revelation. That Satan, that old serpent, that old lying, deceiving devil, he's going to rise up out of the sea. Amen. But we shall overcome him by the word of our testimony and by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. The church will be victorious. Amen. The devil will be destroyed. Hallelujah. It's going to happen. Praise the Lord. The devil knows his time is short. And so he's doubling his efforts. He's got his little imps and his little devils running to and fro trying to cause chaos and destruction. Amen. But the church will stand strong. Amen. In the end times. Amen. As the light of the world. Praise God. As the city that's set on the hill. We shall not be moved. We shall not be persuaded. Amen. We shall not be overcome. Amen. The Bible said, Jesus said, amen, upon this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell. Somebody's got to get with me this morning. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Hallelujah. Is a church here today? Is there somebody that's part of the church of the living God today? Stand to your feet and shout hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Every single obstacle that the devil tries to put in your way, every single time the devil tries to trip you up, every single time he tries to resist God, amen, God will destroy the works of the devil. Amen. Those works that cause us to live broken and messed up lives, amen, God will destroy them. Isaiah 27 verse 4 goes on to say this. And this is God speaking through Isaiah. He says, fury is not in me. So I don't even need fury. I don't even need wrath. He says, who would set the briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. God looks at the obstacles of the enemy as just thorns and briars. When they're set fire of God, they will be consumed in an instant. Say, oh, the New Testament calls what the works of Satan as strongholds in the mind. And the devil thinks he's building a great big stronghold in your mind. He probably thinks this structure is firm. This structure is sound. This person will never be released from my control. But to God, all they are is a bunch of thorns, a bunch of weeds. And when you put fire to them, when you put the consuming fire of God to them, amen, they cannot stand against God. Hallelujah. The next verse says, or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Somebody's got to hold on to the strength of the Lord. Amen. The Holy Ghost is with you. It's in you. He's the comforter. Amen. He's the strong tower. Hallelujah. Take hold of his strength today. Oh, hallelujah. Why don't you lift up your hands today and say, God, I want to receive strength today. I want to receive strength today, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Somebody really call on the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I need strength today, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're not just comfortable talking about the works of Satan without some identification. We need to be aware of his tactics. We need to be aware of how he works. That way we can recognize. We can recognize when he's trying to come against us. These are the works of the devil that God will destroy when Jesus becomes real in your life. These are the briars and the thorns that Satan puts in our lives to try to stop us from serving the Lord. The works of Satan are evil mindsets. They're strongholds in the mind. And they're all based on lies. Somebody said, how do you know when the devil's telling a lie? Has anybody heard that before? He opens his mouth. Yeah. Anytime the devil's speaking, there's a lie in there somewhere. He could be telling you 99% truth and this one little thing is twisted and distorted and messed up. And it makes you believe things about the past that don't have any power over you today. Amen. Jesus said it like this. He called Satan out in John 8:44. Amen. And he called out people that would follow him. He says, ye are of your father the devil. And the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And abode not in the truth. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own. For he is a liar and the father of it. And then he said, and because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. We got to be careful because when Jesus is trying to speak in our life, amen, we know that every word that Jesus speaks is the truth. Every single thing that he says, every single thing that's here in the Word of God, it's truth. Amen. It's something that you can stand firm on. Amen. Every time Jesus tells you something, every time a preacher gets up and starts to preach the Word of God, it's the truth. Amen. And we've got to hold on to it. We've got to cling to the truth. We've got to love the truth. We can't let go of the truth because it's precious. This truth is precious. Amen. It's rare. There's so many things out there that try to deceive and tell lies. But the Word of God, if you've got your Bible, can you hold it up? The Word of God is true. Don't ever let go of the Word of God. Don't ever let go of this truth. Amen. Love it. Love it with all you've got. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, the devil's lies. He tries to work, amen, and cause despair and hopelessness. He wants you to be wasted. He wants you to be poor and place value on things that won't last. So you'll just continue in despair and hopelessness. Amen. His other workings are of rejection. He wants you to be brokenhearted. Because you trusted in the wrong things or the wrong people. He wants you to be in captivity. He wants you to be imprisoned and trapped in things that you can't free yourself from. From addictions, from relationships, or worse things like bitterness. They bind up your spirit. They cause you to be captive. He wants you to live in blindness. He wants you to deceive you and keep you blinded by false religion and false assumptions, or better yet, to get you to think that you're saved when you're really lost. He wants you to be blind. He wants you to be wounded. He wants you to be so deeply wounded on the inside that you don't even know if you can ever move again. Say, I'm injured, I'm wounded, I'm broken, I'm messed up, I've been blinded, I feel captive, I've faced rejection. I saw a preacher the other day, he says, in some ways, rejection is worse than death. In some ways, rejection feels worse than death, he said. He said, because the people that you thought loved you tell you, we don't love you. We don't want to have nothing to do with you. Huh. Despair, hopelessness. These are the works of the devil. These are the things that the devil has worked in your life for far too long. And I wonder if somebody is sick of those things. I wonder if somebody today maybe knows somebody, or is this happening to you yourself, where you feel these works happening in your life. You don't know who to trust. You don't know if you'll ever be free. You don't know if you'll ever be able to see the light. You feel wounded. Say, take me to the ER. I'm wounded in my spirit. Where do I go? Where do I go? Yeah, if I'm physically wounded, I can go to the emergency room. Where do I go if my soul is wounded? I've got great news for you today. Luke chapter 4 verse 18 says the Spirit, Jesus opened that scroll and he began to read. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. If you feel hopeless and despair and you feel poor, there's good news today. He came today, here today, with good news to bring. Amen. You can be saved today. You can have hope today. You can be released from the poverty that you feel in your spirit today. Hallelujah. It says, continuing on, he says, and he hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Oh, I faced rejection, but Jesus is here today to heal the brokenhearted, those that feel rejection. He came to preach deliverance to the captives. Amen. I feel so bound up. I feel so broken that I can't move. I feel like I'll never be free. Amen. But Jesus came today to set you free. Amen. To deliver the captives. Hallelujah. It says recovering of sight to the blind. Recovering of sight to the blind. You don't have to stay broken and messed up and lost and blinded. You can see today. You can see His glory. You can see Him be manifested today in your life. Hallelujah. You can see Jesus come in and start to demolish one by one the works of Satan, and to set at liberty them that are bruised. He said to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And verse 20 says, and he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Today, my friend. Today, ladies and gentlemen. Today, you can have the deliverance, the sight. Amen. You can be set free. Amen. You can be healed. You can have Jesus come and begin to move mountains. Things that you never thought would move in your life, they will move today. If you'll just believe today, if you'll just have hope in Jesus today, He will begin to destroy the works of the devil in your life. Amen. Isaiah 54 verse 17 says this, no weapon, I didn't give you this one, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. And this is so important, because who does this apply to? This verse of Scripture shows us no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You know, So many people would love to claim that. Say, oh, it's kind of a pop culture thing. No weapon will last. No weapon that's formed against me will last. But look who this applies to. The rest of the verse. Please pull this verse up, Brother Andre. Isaiah 54, verse 17. He's working on it. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. You got it? He's working on it. Read it with me if you have it in your Bible. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. And their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. That's just like what our verse said right at the beginning. Even as he is righteous. Righteousness doesn't come from you. Righteousness doesn't come from your mom or your dad. Righteousness doesn't come from your husband or your wife. Righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And he gives it to us freely. All who will believe. All who will be his servant. Amen. He will give you righteousness today. Praise the Lord. And if you're righteous and if you're holy because of the Lord Jesus Christ, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Hallelujah. Jesus is the only door. Jesus is the only way. Hallelujah. He says, I am the door. John 10:9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Look at what the thief comes to do. The thief cometh not. He's speaking of Satan. But for to steal and to kill and to destroy. These are the works of Satan. I am come. What does Jesus do? I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. How far will Jesus go to destroy the works of Satan? How far did he go? He went all the way to the cross for you. He went all the way and gave his life. He laid down his life for you. Amen. I think we ought to give him some worship. I think we ought to give him some praise. Amen. Huh? Oh. You went to Calvary for me. You went to Calvary to destroy the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, what a good, mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. He gave it all. He gave it all. Hallelujah. Come on, if that doesn't move you, I don't know what will. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Amen. Let me be clear. God does not want to destroy you. He wants to restore you. He does, however, want to destroy all the work of Satan. And all the work that Satan has done in your life. And I'll say it again, demolition is not comfortable. It uncovers things. It makes things look out of order. And it causes, there's dust and debris everywhere. And it doesn't look clean and it doesn't look tidy. Amen. I've seen so many people come to an altar and just sit there, and they're all stoic, Pastor. They're all just, I don't talk when I pray. I don't even let a tear come down my eyes. Amen. But when God begins to work on your heart, a tear can come to your eye. You can cry out and it not make sense because you don't know what to say. Demolition doesn't look pretty, but when God's working on your heart, you can't just sit there and be quiet. You begin to open your mouth and you begin to sing, just speak the praises of God and thank Him and love Him and worship Him. Amen. And He begins to do something on the inside of you. He begins to do something in your mind and in your soul. Amen. It's necessary for construction to happen. If you try to hold on to any part of what the devil has done in your life, you could end up hurt. Most of those, and since this is kind of a construction thing, most of those injuries that happen, and if anybody's been on a job site in the shipyard, most of the time it's because the person was at the wrong place at the wrong time. It's an accident. That's why they call it an accident. Any of you men know what I'm talking about? Or ladies that have worked at the shipyard? Say amen. Yeah, you're at the wrong time at the wrong place. I'll tell you where the wrong time and the wrong place is when Jesus is trying to destroy the works of Satan in your life, and you're holding on for dear life to what the devil has done and Jesus is trying to remove. Don't do it. Danger. Caution. Get out of the way and let God work. Hallelujah. I want to jump down to this story because this is what it looks like when Jesus destroys the works of the devil. It's here in Luke chapter 8, verse 26. And we're going to stay here in the book of Luke. Luke 8, 9, and 10. And I want to look at these verses. But this is so amazing to me. And right now, you're just going to get some teaching. Praise the Lord. Because I believe that I don't want to just get up here and shout for a little while and get you all excited and not give you some real clear instruction. But this is what it looks like. We'll read this verses here, Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through 39, real quick. It says, "And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs." You could see it was evident that this man from the Gadarenes had the works of the devil in his life. It was really clear. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him with a loud voice, said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not." All the devils that he had couldn't stop him from crying out to Jesus. And he had commanded the unclean spirit. I'm sorry, I missed a verse here. Verse 29. "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." Again, you can see the works of Satan in his life. "And Jesus asked him, saying, What is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go into the deep, into the sea. And there was there an herd of swine, many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them, and he suffered them. Then went the devils out of the man, and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake, and were choked. When they that fed them saw what was done, they fled, and went and told it in the city and in the country." That's so interesting to me, because what are a bunch of pigs doing in Israel? They don't eat swine. Of course, they were upset. They were upset because their livelihood had run down the hill into the sea. Verse 35. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man. This is what it looks like when Jesus destroys the works of the devil in your life. They found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Wow. This man that was running around in the tombs with the leftover pieces of broken chain on him was sitting there being taught and speaking to the Lord. Amazing. This is what it looks like. Jesus wants to put you in your right mind. He wants to clothe you with His righteousness and holiness. Amen. So it can protect you from the enemy. And it's interesting to me because the man of Gadarenes, he wanted to follow Jesus. But he had a greater purpose for him than for him to go around with him. Because there was no greater testimony than a man that many people had saw for years and years being tormented by the devil, clear and clothed and in his right mind. Hallelujah. Verse 36 says it, they also which saw it. And it's interesting the reaction of the people of that city. They're afraid. They can't believe what had been done. Maybe some of them were upset because the pigs had died. I mean, I like bacon. But I like ribs. I'm not trying to make you hungry. We're going to be out of here pretty soon. Praise the Lord. But there, some of them were upset, maybe a small fraction, about that. But most of them were afraid because look at the power of God. Look at what God has done. We have tried to keep this man contained. We have tried everything we possibly can to keep this man in his right mind. And they probably brought the doctors to him, and they probably brought all kinds of, you know, maybe the magistrates came out and tried to keep him. They tried to keep him in prison and in jail. The man would bolt. They had done so much to try and were powerless to keep this man in control and contained. Because they were fighting something that they did not have the authority over. But Jesus has all power and all authority over every work of the devil. Amen. And he was able. It was so funny and interesting to me that these devils tried to negotiate with Jesus. Don't put us in the sea. They ended up in the sea anyway. Hallelujah. The devils knew who he was because he had manifested himself to them. Amen. They also, verse 36, they also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. They try to make Jesus leave. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, return to thine own home and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Interesting to me, and I'm just going to point this out because I'm a one God apostolic, that Jesus said, go, he gave the instruction to the man that had been delivered. Go and show how great things God, everybody say God, hath done unto thee. There's one God. There's only one God. Interesting to me that the man followed his exact instructions. He went and told the whole city how great things Jesus hath done unto him. My friend, Jesus is God. Jesus is God. He's God manifest in the flesh. Amen. Somebody's got to get a revelation today, because revelation makes God manifest to you. Amen. Jesus is the Almighty God. Hallelujah. He's God alone, all by Himself. He has all power. Amen. So this is the part where you're going to get a little bit of instructions. And I won't read all of these verses. But check this out. After watching Jesus heal the sick and cast out demons, the disciples had just seen Jesus and this great testimony about this man from the Gadarenes. It was time for the disciples to also try to cast out demons. And Jesus, in Luke 9, verse 1, He called His disciples together and He gave them power and authority, look, over all devils and to cure diseases. And He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. They preached the gospel and they healed the sick, but it doesn't show anywhere in Luke's writings that they cast out devils. And verse number 6 says, and they departed and went through the towns preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Notably, they couldn't cast out these devils. The 12 come back to Jesus. Luke had made no mention of them casting out devils. But later on, a father brought his demon-possessed son to see Jesus in verse 40. And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not. This is a problem. Because Jesus, did He not give them power to heal and to cast out all devils? He did. But there were some problems with them. There were some mindsets that they had. There were some things that they were holding on to that Jesus had to teach them how to overcome. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord wants to do, is it wants to teach you how to take control of your life and not allow the enemy to control you anymore. Amen. And Jesus answering verse 41 said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and sup for you? Bring thy son hither. And he was yet a coming. The devil threw him down and tear him. And Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. Jesus did not spare the disciples' feelings when He pointed out their deficiencies. Most believers today, they'll pray for the sick, then they'll conclude, if it be God's will. It doesn't take much faith to pray that way, because it puts the onus on God. It takes a whole different level of faith to confront a demon and to be confident about the outcome. One of the disciples' problems or perversions was pride, which would render them totally ineffective. A few verses later, we see them arguing. It's not even 4 verses later. We see them arguing about who is going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus knew their hearts. Verse 46 says, then there arose a reasoning among them, which of them should be the greatest. All the while, Jesus was confronting the disciples about several kingdom-killing tactics or works of the enemy before He was going to send them out. Jesus was trying to teach them all along. We need to not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Jesus wants to demolish these kingdom-killing tactics from our lives and from our church and from our family. These things that I'm going to tell you are a twisted view of what living for God is all about. It's a twisted view of what the kingdom of God is all about. Nevertheless, they must be corrected before resisting the enemy is even possible. Otherwise, we're cooperating with the enemy. I gave one example already, their pride of who was going to be the greatest. Do you realize that the first sin of Satan was pride? You're working with the enemy. Jesus is walking around with these disciples. He gave them the power over the enemy, but they're sitting there working with the enemy. We cannot work with the enemy. Hallelujah. These are the kingdom-killing perversions that I'm talking about. And I'll give you the reference verses if you're taking notes. The first one is self-sufficiency in verses 10 through 25. Self-sufficiency. You're not sufficient by yourself. You can't do it alone. You can't make it all by yourself. You need Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said in verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. You're not self-sufficient. You're not going to make it all by yourself. You shouldn't just stay home all by yourself and pray. You shouldn't just stay home and read your Bible alone. You're not going to make it. You're working with the enemy when you do that. Now, I understand that people get sick. I understand that you're going to miss church sometimes. But don't make it a habit. Don't let that be your way. Be here when the doors are open. Praise the Lord. The second one is being ashamed of Jesus. I mean, whose kingdom are you a part of anyway? This is in verses 26 through 36. Jesus said, verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed, when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. If you're ashamed of Jesus, you're on the wrong side. Be grateful that you're a child of God. Stand firm that you have been bought with a price, that you are not your own, that you've been born again. Hallelujah. If you didn't listen to anything I've said up to this point, focus now. Focus now. We can't be self-sufficient. We can't be ashamed of Jesus and have power over the enemy. What about unbelief? Jesus was also teaching them. You can't have unbelief. Some of you sitting here today don't believe that you're going to make it tomorrow. That you can make it another day. Don't be so despondent and in despair that you can't walk forward in the kingdom of God. That's in verses 37 through 45, if you're keeping track. What about pride? We spoke of that earlier. Verses 46 through 48. And he said unto them, this is verse 48, and he said unto them, whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me. And whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me. For he that is least among you, the same shall be great. This church is not based on pride. This church is not based on arrogance. This church is a humble church. It's a church that is formed after its Lord and Savior. Amen. The one that was made of low estate. He became like a servant. Amen. And if you're going to be great, look down, not up. Some people have that mindset. Oh, this is a dog-eat-dog world. I'm willing to step on the guy next to me to get ahead in life. Just stop. That might work in the corporate world, but it can't work here. Not if you want to resist the devil's work in your life. Are you listening today? What about possessiveness? This is in verses 49 and 50. And John answered and said, Master, this is so ironic to me, Pastor. So ironic. These guys couldn't cast out a single devil that was tormenting this little boy. And look at what Peter says. It's crazy. Or John. It's crazy. And John answered and said, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and we forbade him, because he followeth not with us. And Jesus said unto him, Forbid him not, for he that is not against us is for us. That's so amazing to me. They couldn't cast out a single devil, but they were mad when somebody else was doing it. Don't be so possessive with your gift that you're not willing to share it with other people. That you're not willing to allow people to come in and support what you're doing. Can you see how these things will just kill the kingdom of God? They'll just stop it in its tracks. If we can get this right, Jesus will begin to work in our lives like never before. And I can't wait to see it when it happens. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about ministering in the wrong spirit? Verses 51 through 56. I'm just going to read verse 55. Amen. But he turned, this is Jesus, he turned and rebuked them and said, Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. They were upset because one of the towns in Samaria wouldn't accept them. They turned to Jesus and said, Jesus, should we call down fire from heaven to destroy them? You're ministering with the wrong spirit. Maybe the town wasn't ready to receive him yet. But the gospel would be preached. Hallelujah. What about false confidences? This is in verses 57 and 58. Amen. I'm not going to read that one. Amen. Lastly, and this one's probably the one we see the most. Lame excuses. Lame excuses. Verse 59 through 62. And he said unto another. Like, imagine the opportunity that these folks had. Imagine the... They could have been named with the 12. They could have had their names on a foundation in the book of Revelation. Imagine the opportunity that was missed because of a lame excuse. And he said to another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee. But let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. I just want to go say goodbye one last time. And you get the picture that they didn't follow Jesus because of it. And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow, and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Simply put in the book of James chapter 4 verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. All of these kingdom killing tactics can all be avoided if you'll just submit yourselves therefore to God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. And I know I hear this verse quoted all the time. Can somebody quote the rest of the verse for me? Submit yourselves therefore to God. It's up on the screen. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. We love that part. We love to resist the devil and he will flee from us. We can shout about that. But I never hear shouting when we preach submission. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Submission is not a dirty word. Submission is where the power lies. Submission is submission to the authority of God. And no one has authority unless they're submitted to authority. Jesus had already given them power over all devils. But once they got that right, amen, Once they finally got that right, look what happened when the 70 went out and they properly submitted to God. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. They came with joy. They said, wow, we couldn't cast out a single devil before, and all of a sudden, there's not a single devil that can resist thy name. Jesus quickly revealed to them that they had true authority because of their association with him, because of their names being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. He didn't want them to rejoice over the wrong thing. They came rejoicing because devils were defeated, not because they were saved. Luke 10:18, and he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, hold on a second. In this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How do I get my name written in heaven? How do I get my name written way up in heaven? Acts 2:38 tells you how. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Of course, the word serpents and scorpions don't refer to snakes and bugs, because reptiles and insects are not our enemies. Well, maybe for some of us. But Jesus was metaphorically referring to the devil and his imps. He was telling his disciples, you may think that the demons are subject to you, but in reality, they are in subjection to me because of my authority and my power. Don't ever forget where the power comes from. Don't ever get it messed up. Don't ever fall prey to these kingdom-killing tactics. Amen. But submit yourself to God. Amen. Submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Praise the Lord. I'm going to close. Can you stand with me? Amen. If we can get some musicians. Amen. The only reason you are effective is because your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. And the first part of verse 21 says, In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Amen. This caused Jesus to rejoice. And my friend, it will cause Jesus to rejoice here today. If one person comes to repentance, if just one soul would come and say, God, I submit myself to your power. I'm sorry, Lord, for ever getting it wrong. I'm sorry, Lord, that I ever tried to do it by myself. I'm sorry, Lord, that I ever had pride in my life. If one person will come to repentance today, Jesus will rejoice. Amen. It says that there is joy in the presence of the angels. Pastor likes to teach this. There's joy in the presence of the angels. Who could be in the presence of the angels? Jesus. Jesus is in the presence of the angels, rejoicing over one sinner repenting. Hallelujah. He rejoiced because the 70 that he sent out were ready to go on to the next level. Amen. Of getting closer to him. So here it is. Our opening verse says that when Jesus is manifested, he destroys the work of the devil. So then how? How does one have the Lord manifested? in your life in order to destroy the works of Satan? That's a very important question. How is it that we can have God reveal Himself, amen, and come and dwell in our lives today? Show Himself real to us. Show Himself that He really does have care and concern and compassion for you and for your family. Amen. Quickly, I want to tell you, and this is just teaching, this is just instruction, but we've got to get this settled. We've got to get this right. Amen. But the first thing is here in church. Right here. The church gives us love and gives us instruction, but it also gives us accountability. And this is number one, because the other things I'm going to tell you, they're affected by whether or not you're here in the house of God. You're, like we said, you can't make it all by yourself. But where two or three are gathered together, where two or three agree on any one thing, there Jesus is in the midst of them. And He will answer your prayers. Hallelujah. That's really what those who make the habit of forsaking the assembly of the believers, that's really what they miss. They miss out on this requirement for prayer. It requires two or three. Well, yes, you can pray alone. Yes, you should pray all by yourself. Yes, we encourage that. But what if the pastor has a special vision? Or what if Sister Brown or one of you others, what if Sister Davenport has a special understanding and knows some instruction or knows some things about how to pray? And you're just all by yourself trying to figure it out all by yourself. You miss the power of prayer. That's why we believe in prayer today. We believe in prayer before service. We believe in prayer coming together on Monday nights. Amen. To pray. Amen. Scripture is of no private interpretation, Pastor. That means you can't go read it all by yourself and figure out how to be saved. You've got to come together. And I believe that there's a lot of error in just the church in general because of that. Because some guy goes out and he's reading this, aha, I got a great new revelation. No, you didn't. When you come and test it, iron sharpens iron. How do you know whether or not your interpretation is right? You've got to come together with men and women of like precious faith and make sure that the words you are reading and how you understand them are correct. God gave that to the church. Amen. And oh, by the way, when you read the Word, that's number two. When you read the Bible, when you do Bible study, the truth makes you free. You can feel the presence of God. Go ahead and play. You can feel the presence of God when you read the Word. If you're missing out on reading the Word, if you're not faithful in reading your Bible, you're not going to feel the presence of Jesus manifested in your life and your understanding being opened to what the Scriptures say. This is something that's so powerful because this is given to us by God. And I'd say it's one of the only things that God invests into His Word. In the Word of God, there is power that when you open the pages of this wonderful book, the Spirit that wrote it leaps off those pages and becomes real in your life. If you're not reading your Bible, if you've neglected, don't try to play catch up. Just read a couple of verses a day. Just open it and begin to read. Amen. This is so good because the Spirit of the Lord is everywhere. that His Word is spoken everywhere. If you'll just open the Word, He will manifest Himself to you. Amen. And begin to destroy the works of Satan in your life. Prayer. Yes, prayer. A Christian has only to pray and speak the name of Jesus to have the presence of the Lord become real in that very instant. Believers can open up their mouth and cry the name of Jesus. Can pray in the name of Jesus. And He becomes more and more real as He answers every prayer. Amen. He's faithful in answering prayer. Amen. And it's been said already today. And I wonder if we can come for this last part. Can we come and gather here in the front? If you're here today, just come. Be open to what God wants to do in your life. If you can step forward in faith. Amen. But this one, praise and worship. Praise and worship. Sister Jerry opened the prayer this morning talking about praise. And it says in Psalm 150, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise and worship. Amen. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Psalm 21 says that Thou art holy, O Thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Amen. God inhabits the praises and the worship of His people. He will reveal Himself. He will manifest Himself. Today, if you will lift up praise, lift up worship. Amen. Right now, if you'll lift Him up, hallelujah, He'll become real to you today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Begin to praise Him. Begin to worship Him. Come on. Hallelujah. If the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you. Amen. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken, make alive. Amen. Your bodies. Amen. Even by His Spirit that dwells in you. Hallelujah. Come on. The only hope Satan has is for you to quit before you realize that you have the power. The only hope the enemy has is for you to quit before you realize that you have the power. Refuse to quit. Refuse to give up on living for God. Refuse. Amen. Just remove the option to quit. Amen. Don't stop praying. Don't stop reading the Bible. Don't stop coming to church. Don't stop witnessing. Amen. Because you have the power of Jesus. Amen. And when Jesus shows up, He destroys the works of the devil. Hallelujah. Right now, here today. Amen. Let's realize that Jesus wants to give us the power over all the works of the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Come on, let's lift up our voices to Him. Let's lift up our cry to Him. Hallelujah. Come on, don't sit back. But somebody press. Somebody push. Somebody push into the presence of God. Hallelujah. 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 Somebody praise Him right now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Come on, encourage one another. Come on, encourage one another. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, I worship You, Lord. I praise You, oh God. I thank You, Jesus. God, You are real to me, Lord Jesus. God, You really have given me the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.